Let me just take a moment and wish you a happy Father's Day. We're glad that you are here to join us today. For all you dads, we have a special treat for you over in the cafe. There's a big plate full of, 10 different kinds of beef jerky and cheese. I mean, crawfish jerky, teriyaki jerky, filet mignon jerky. Whew. That's gone, actually. I put all that one in my car, but... And the photo booth is back for you dads, so take a moment and go over there with your kids and get your picture taken and enjoy some beef jerky and cheese on us. Well, this picture is actually from this past week for VBS. We had a great week of VBS. This was for the little ones. They had quite a large number of little kids, 3 years up to kindergarten. And we had a wonderful evening with them each night. And the little inset picture there, it was really cute because this is Ben and Kathy Manning's little daughter, Caitlin. And that's her mom holding her there. And Connie said that she told them to do their prayer hands. And listen, folks, we teach our kids here to pray young. Okay, she's like, 6 months old or something. And she's got her prayer hands praying with the kids and with Connie. Had a great week. Tonight, of course, starts our second week of VBS. This is for the older kids, kindergarten through fifth grade. They'll go from 6 to 8:30. Okay, it's a little longer. Starts a little bit earlier, 6 o'clock to 8:30, starting tonight here at the church. There's still a table set up back there that you can get information about. Or I'm sure there's even things that you could do to help with VBS this week if you would like. What happens after you die? We've been talking about this for 4 weeks now. We're going to finish this up. I just got to tell you, my day started out rough today. I tell you this because I'm looking forward to heaven, okay? I got here this morning, and I go over to the office and we're getting new sidewalks over there. And they have the stone down and it's compacted. And I was walking through there, and they have the mesh down there that's going to reinforce the concrete. Well, I tripped on some of that. Have you ever tripped and you just have this moment where you can just like have this long conversation with yourself? It goes something like this: I'm going to fall. I'm going to hit the ground. Which arm do I want to break? And as you're falling, I can see that I'm going to fall into the muddy grass beside the sidewalk. So I banged my knee on the form, and I rolled my sleeves up because this sleeve from here down is mud. Okay, and I don't live a mile away from the church anymore. A couple years ago, I'd have just gone home and changed, and now I can't. So just in case you're wondering that. That's why that's up, so that you don't stare at my muddy sleeve. But my day started out really, really hard that way, and I think, okay, I'm looking forward to heaven. So anyway, let's finish this up today. I love the story about the man and woman, husband and wife, that went to the Holy Land for a visit, and they took their mother-in-law. Okay, the husband and wife took her mother along with them. And they were enjoying the Holy Land, and what happened was that tragically the mother-in-law died while they were there. And in talking with an undertaker there in Israel, in the Holy Land, he told the family, he said, "Listen, we can ship your loved one back home to the States, but it'll cost about $7,000. And we can do that, or if you would like, we can bury her here in the Holy Land for $150, and you guys need to decide." Well, the man thought about it for a moment, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I think we need to take her back to the States." And the undertaker, he was kind of, he was shocked. He said, "You mean you'd rather spend $7,000 and fly her back to the States rather than bury her here in the Holy Land for $150?" And the guy said, "Listen, I heard about that guy 2,000 years ago that died and was buried, and 3 days later he came back to life. I'm not taking that chance." little mother-in-law humor. Aren't you glad your mother-in-law's over here this morning, John? Nah, come on now, that's funny, all right? I read that, and I love my mother-in-law as much as anybody, but I sometimes you just find something and you just got to work it in some way. So here's the way I work it in. Isn't it amazing how some people really don't understand the Bible nearly as much as they think they do? I think the world is full of people, and there's probably even some of us here that we don't know near as much about the Bible as we think we do. Let me give you a good example of it. I love this passage of Scripture. You know, and we've been saying this over and over again. What matters most is what? What matters most is that when the body is dead, the spirit lives on. We've seen that time and time again in Scriptures from the very beginning of creation all the way through the end of the New Testament. But here's the thing. Sometimes we come to Scriptures and I think we don't get the full message. For example, this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. What no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind has imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, let me just point out six things about this passage. The first three are your eyes, your ears, and your mind. We can't see it. We can't hear it. Our mind can't even conceive it. The next three things, our eyes hasn't seen it. Our ears haven't heard it. Our mind hasn't conceived it. So our eyes, our ears, our mind. Our senses cannot even describe what God has in store for us. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read that passage of Scripture many, many times throughout my whole life. And I thought about things like, this is Apostle Paul, his life is really dialed in, Isn't it awesome if you have a life that's dialed into God? It's like a radio in a car, and you got it coming through crystal clear. That's who Paul was. Paul had it coming through crystal clear. And what does he say here? He says, you can't even imagine, you can't see, you can't even hear how good it is what God is doing for us. Sometimes we go through what I would call defining moments in life. I wonder about the Apostle Paul as he spoke these words. What prompted these words? It was probably a moment in time, a moment of realization. A moment when the light bulb went off, a moment when clarity came, a moment when vision was cleared, clouds were rolled back, no trees in the way, and he just saw it and understood it crystal clear. And what did he see and hear and understand crystal clear? That we can't see and hear and understand crystal clear what God has in store for us. See, a lot of people read this passage, and that's what they see. That's what they hear. But here's the thing, folks. You got to go on. Matter of fact, if you read on in this particular passage, the very next verse says what? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says, but it was to us that God revealed these things to us by His Spirit. God, Paul's saying, you can't imagine, you can't understand, you can't see, you can't hear. But by the way, God's given us His Spirit now that helps us understand. You see, the difference here is that in the Old Testament, it was like that. But in the New Testament, with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that there was this moment of clarity for Paul, and he shared that clarity with all of us. I don't know. I think everybody has experienced someone close to them that has passed away. That is gone from life now, right? Life now from conception to our death. Life in between from our death to Jesus' return. We're either in that place of torment or we're in the presence of God. And then when Jesus returns again, judges the living and the dead, that's when life eternal begins. And we're looking forward to that. But here's the thing. I think as we get to this point where we lose someone, We always wonder. Let me give you an example. 17 years ago, my mother passed away. And I remember Arlene and I were at an outlet mall shopping on a Saturday when my phone rang and I saw it was my sister. I went outside. I talked to my sister. My sister said this to John. Said, "Mom's really taking a turn for the worse." She said, "I think you need to come home." Arlene and I get in our car. We come back to Altoona. By the time we get to Altoona to pick up our kids to go back to Virginia, my mother had passed away. I was so wanting to get there before she died. I so wanted to pray with her and to hug her and to talk to her. And when we went down there and we walked into the home and I saw my mother's empty chair that she sat in 90% of the time, man, there was just something came over me that was my mother was gone. You know, I had this same experience with someone recently who had lost their father, and their father had been cremated, and they had to go and pick up the remains, the ashes of the father. And they were talking to me about what they felt like as they were carrying that urn back to their home. You know, we always think the same things. I can't believe they're gone. But then we wonder, where are they? What are they experiencing right now? And that's kind of where we're going to end up with this today. You know, what happens after that loved one leaves here? You know, Jesus makes this next move when he returns and judges the living and the dead. But last week we talked about what happens to an unbeliever when Jesus returns. Today I want to talk to you about what happens to a believer when Jesus returns. And I want to do that by looking at a couple of my favorite passages of Scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. Here, these verses give us a pretty clear idea about what happens to what happened to my mother when she passed, and what's going to happen when Jesus comes back to all those who believe. And I'd like to answer this question by just kind of giving you what I think is the bottom line from this passage, from these two chapters of Scripture. You know, I think when it comes to this, and I said this at the very beginning, you know, we're just going to ask some questions and we're going to look to God's Word to answer them. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open your Bibles, Revelation 21 and 22. And as we go to these verses of Scripture, I want us to have some discovery. I want us to discover some things that really make a difference. And these things that I'm going to give you, these discoveries, I want you to never lay them down. I want you to never forget them. I don't want you to ever, you know, not remember them, because they are crucial discoveries. Me, you know, for example, a few days ago, I played in a golf outing here with a local church, and they raise money for missions, and we were playing, and when I was playing, I have this coin, and it's a 1942 25 cent piece coin from Benedict Coal Company. Okay, I don't know if you ever know you knew this. But my mother was raised in a mining town, a coal mining town, and they had their own money that the company used, that these people could use at their company store. And that's what this was. This was one of these coins. And I just envisioned my mother taking this coin and going to the store and, you know, getting milk or bread for her family. 25-cent coin. Now, my mother didn't give it to me. I paid $10 for it off eBay. But still, she may have had it at some time, okay? That's my thing. Anyway, I have this coin, and I use it to mark my ball when I play golf. You know, mark your ball when you get on the green. You know, some of you play golf, you never get on the green, right? I don't so much anymore, but, you know, you mark your ball. Well, I marked my ball, and I forgot my coin. And we went around, and we played the rest of the round, and it hit me when I was cleaning out my pockets. Oh, my coin! 25-cent coin. You know what I did? I went and found it. The neat thing was, I got back to the green where I thought it might be, and I was sure somebody had picked it up. But there it was, about 12 feet from the hole, still laying right where I'd placed it an hour before. And I guess the people played after us were really bad. They never got on the green. You know, but anyway, you know, I picked up my coin and I had my coin. Listen, I'm going to give you some things here this morning that are supremely valuable. And we need to hold on to these things as we wait for that day, as we wait for life now to end, and as we await the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, here's the discoveries. Don't ever let go of these. Here's the first one. I think these passages teach us that the end place is not up there, but it's down here. I mean, think about that. The in-between place we think is up there, even though it's not so much a place as it is a person. But the end place, when Jesus comes back and judges the living and the dead, it's not up there, it's down here. What God did in Genesis 1 and 2, He's going to do it again. Matter of fact, if you read Revelation 21 and 22, they read almost identical to Genesis 1 and 2. It turns out that human history is not linear, it's in a circle. Matter of fact, what it says here is that it ends where it began. In other words, what God envisioned in Genesis 1 and 2 is what God creates and restores at the end of the day. Matter of fact, Revelation 21 tells us that God is going to build a new heaven and a new earth. The heaven here refers to the atmosphere around the earth. And the earth, we know, is either going to experience a massive redo or a complete overhaul. But what he says is that we're going to live forever on this new earth. Now listen, folks, don't lose that idea. We're not so much going up there, but heaven's coming down here. The reality is that God is going to make this happen. And you know what? You know, for me anyway, that kind of helps me, because, you know, I think in some ways, you know, thinking about, you know, being a disembodied spirit that's going to float around for all of eternity, I don't know. But God says here that He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Matter of fact, here, could I ask you to do something? It might be a little bit uncomfortable, and you know, if it makes you uncomfortable, you don't have to participate. But if you're comfortable in doing this, just do this. Just close your eyes. I'm going to close my eyes with you. Just close your eyes, and just think about all the magnificent places that God has created on this earth. I mean, think about the rivers and the streams and the waterfalls and the mountains and the trees and the flowers. I mean, for crying out loud, we live right here in this central part of Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful places that you could ever imagine. And you think about that, God is gonna make a new heaven and a new earth that is perfect. That what God did once in Eden, He's gonna do it again. But here's the thing, folks. He's going to remove the curse and all the junk associated with it. You tell me that life forever is on a new earth, a beautiful earth without all the junk? And I'll say, bring it on. I mean, to me, that is a wonderful thing to think about. I think that's kind of what causes John to say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." Because it won't actually happen until Jesus returns again. New heaven, new earth. Here's the second discovery, and it kind of adds to that, that God is not staying up there but coming down here. You know, and think about this. I said to you that it mirrors Genesis 1 and 2, Revelation 21 and 22. Mirrors Genesis 1 and 2. What's going on in Genesis 1 and 2? Genesis 1 and 2 is God's creation, Adam and Eve. They're in the garden. They're walking with God in the cool of the day. Genesis 3 is what? Sin. And God banishes them from the garden. And that they are no longer in the eternal presence of God. And here at the end, Jesus is going to just absolutely reverse that. God is not staying up there. He's not someone out there that we don't see, that we don't experience. He's going to come down here to be with us as he was with Adam and Eve originally in the garden. And we will have the opportunity to walk and talk with him in the cool of the day. I don't know about you folks, but when I think about my life and when I finally found the Lord, it's been a beautiful journey of walking and knowing him. And then to think about that when this life is over and when Jesus returns and he judges the living and the dead, and we enter our eternal home, or whether we are eternally banished from him, but when we're there with him, that he'll be there, we can sit in a chair and talk with him, we can be quiet and contemplate this wonderful place. Wow. For all of eternity, God is coming down here. Okay, here's the third discovery. Don't ever let go of it. We're going to receive new bodies. Imperishable bodies. You know, I think back to my dear mother, and I'm sure you have folks that you can think of too. The last 5 years of my mother's life, every breath was a struggle. My mother had emphysema, and it got really bad. And the last few years of her life, every breath was a struggle. I remember going and visiting my mother, and my mother would be sitting up. And if you know of anybody that suffers from this chronic disease, she would sit up in a chair, and she would just try to get herself at just the right angle where her breath would be a little bit better. It was awful. But I can remember my mother before that. I look forward to that. You know, I think of people like Gail Lighty, Breezy. Remember Gail? She had cerebral palsy. She wheeled herself around this church with her foot on a joystick on her chair. She said to me back when we were doing our building a couple years ago, and she actually died before it was completed, she was so excited about having an elevator. I never get on that elevator without thinking about her. Will you recognize her in heaven without her chair, standing straight and strong? I don't know about you, but as I think about this new body thing, the older I get, it's like, man, that's going to be awesome. You know? Like somebody said one time, will there be bald spots in heaven? No, I don't know. Will there be baldness in heaven? I don't know. You know, but a new body, man, that's just so awesome. And he says it's going to be a perfect body. I think about Jesus on the transfiguration when he was transfigured before his disciples there. And as they looked at him, they couldn't hardly even recognize him because of his transformed body. And Jesus is going to give us that. That's one of the joys of this place. This body will be an imperishable one. There will be no more disease, no more cancer, no more death, no more waking up wondering if this is going to be the day that we're going to discover all that. All of that is gone. And I don't know about you, but frankly, I'm hoping for a few improvements in the body that we get. You know, yesterday I was with the family of Sweet Lois Adams, you know, one of our older folks here at the church, and she fell and broke her hip, and she had surgery yesterday to repair that broken hip. I think about Sweet Claire, who's in the Lutheran home right now with that terrible leg that she's got, and you know, all that stuff is going to be gone. It's an incredible thing to think about that God is going to give us that. Now, I don't know about these improvements, maybe a little divine nip and tuck, I'm not sure, but we'll see. Now, here's the fourth thing, and let's tie all these things together. The fourth discovery that you see when you read these two chapters is that the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Adam and Eve that they were escorted out of is at the center of this grand new city. Think about that. The Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve were escorted out of shows up again in the new kingdom that God is building. And this garden is right in the center of this grand city that is constructed by God. And think about it. The garden has been expanded to accommodate a number of residents. And John is receiving this vision as if he's sitting in this IMAX theater with his 3D glasses on, and he's writing as fast as he can. Listen to what he says. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" Think about that. I am making everything new. Matter of fact, say that with me. I am making everything new. That's what God's promise is to us. Chapter 22, he continues. Listen, "Then an angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the land of God down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its crops of fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." See, folks, this is the final, permanent, eternal creation. And that's why we call it life forever. And this is where we will be with God. Do you notice he said that there is a river? And where does it come from? It comes from the throne of God. And they said it flows all the time. And on each side of that river is the tree of life. And the tree of life will give forth its fruit every month. Think about that. In heaven. Think about this. In heaven, there will be no fall and winter. You say, no fall? I love fall. You see, fall is the prelude to the trees going dormant and dying for the winter. And then they come back to life. But here he describes trees that give their fruit every month, month after month. Their leaves are what? Their leaves are for the healing of the nations. Isn't that awesome? No health care needed in heaven. We get our health care, we get our vitality from God. What a beautiful description that he's giving to us here of what this wonderful place is going to be like. But folks, never lose sight of the fact of this wonderful discovery of this garden at the center of the new city, that we end the same place that God began, in a perfect garden, living in His presence for all of eternity. Now think about that, folks. Over the last 4 weeks, we've created a kind of a wailing wall, if you will, where we can just come and we can seek God and find direction and understanding and healing from Him. And we believe that one day He will come and He will judge the living and the dead. And that we will receive our rightful place in His presence for all of eternity. And know that our future, that all of our, everything that we are and want to be is in His beautiful and wonderful hands. Here's the thing, folks. There's certain things in life that when you discover them, they change you. I hope that our understanding about the end times, our understanding about our death and about Christ's return, I hope that it changes us and helps us to be faithful and look forward to that day when He opens that second book and He finds our name there and He says, come, enter into your eternal rest and your eternal home with me. Let's pray. Father, every person within the sound of my voice is in life now. We know that. We know, Lord, that we are living, breathing, seeking, Lord, You each and every day. And may we know, God, that what we do here in this life, the things that we accept, the things that we hold true, will determine, Lord, where we spend eternity. So God, I pray until we come to that day when our life is over here, or when we look up, Lord, and see Your return, I pray, Lord, that we will be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Convinced, Lord, that our name is written. And Lord, if it's not, that we remedy that as we trust in You. And God, as we sing this wonderful song together, may we identify our hearts and our spirits with You in heaven. And Lord, may we long for that day to be with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.